Interesting Items 0118. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Riot. 2. Coup. 3. Impeachment. 4. Parlor. 5. Persuasion. 6. Reprisals. 1. Riot. I wanted to wait a couple weeks following the festivities of Jan 6 to discuss what took place. Reason for the delay was mostly rooted in standard fog of war, for we are most certainly in a cold war with the left that is in the process of heating up a bit. So, what happened that day? A mass protest in support of President Trump in Washington, D.C. aimed at getting Congress to do their job in reviewing election claims. President Trump spoke to the group for around an hour and they marched to the Capitol in protest. A group of perhaps 75 to 150 got into the Capitol and started breaking windows, occupying offices, standing on the floor of the House. Their incursion started a good 0+15 before Trump was finished speaking. After the ensuing melee, there were 5 dead. The media, which has been egging on violent protests by Democrats nationwide for years, flipped and decided this was not a good protest. Rather, it was a bad protest, and the protesters attempting to execute a coup. Protesters were instantly referred to as insurrectionists. Bill O'Reilly reported a telcon between Democrat leaders who decided to use this as an opportunity to blame everything on Trump, which they did, instantly flipping from calling for kinetic action against Trump supporters for 5 solid years by their anti-FA, BLM shock troops, to being shocked, simply shocked that anyone else would play the game by their new rules. The House rushed through a snap impeachment of Trump that will not see a trial until he is out of office. Big Tech used the excuse as a vehicle to start deplatforming Trump, his supporters, and any conservative-friendly company. Parler was the most prominent. As the weeks passed, it became apparent that Capitol Police and the FIB knew for at least 3 days that something was going to take place. There were known anti-FA, BLM, and rabid anti-Trumpers at the forefront and leadership of the incursion, acting as agents provocateurs and egging on the crowd. Capitol Police have been reluctant to release any intel gathered before the festivities. So has the FIB. Like the vast majority of violent events, this one appears to have been planned, triggered and executed by Democrat sympathizers, anti-Trumpers and egged on by the media and big tech. 2. Coup. Democrats and their propaganda arm and the media quickly settled on the talking point of calling the festivities of Jan 6 an attempted coup and have been beating that dead horse as hard as they possibly can ever since. Something appears to have terrified Congress, as they scattered like cockroaches when you lift the rock under which they were hiding. Pelosi and the Democrat leadership are particularly terrified. Scott Adams believes it is because this is the first time in their lifetime that large numbers of Republicans appear to have been pushing back using the same techniques that the political left has used, making it the first time anyone has told the left in no uncertain terms that they have finally gone too far. 3. Impeachment. In response, House leadership rushed through a single article of impeachment against President Trump for inciting the Jan 6 riot. The action picked up 10 Republicans, including a newly elected one. For his part, senators did their best unconcerned routine, though the most important part was an announcement by Senate Majority Leader McConnell that the Senate would not be back in session until Jan 19, with the first opportunity to take up the article for a trial the afternoon of Jan 20, an hour or two after Biden is sworn in. This presents a problem, as Congress has no power over any private citizen, meaning convicting Trump after he has left office is not only unconstitutional, but is also illegal. As Chief Justice John Roberts is supposed to preside over any Senate trial, this presents a real interesting dilemma for him. Should he do the right thing and refuse to preside over an unconstitutional action, he is no longer BFFs with all his DC cheerleaders. Should he choose to preside, he is engaging in a blatantly unconstitutional action. This second impeachment sufficiently demeans the process so it will all but guarantee future impeachments of every single president, vice president when the opposite party has a majority in the House of Representatives in the future. Not only will it happen, but it will happen all the time. With that in mind, let's take a look at the incoming president and VP, both of whom spent much of the last year not only inciting domestic terrorists, but participating in bail funds to get them out of jail and back on the streets where they could commit more mayhem. Kamala Harris gave an interview in SEP not only supporting the ongoing riots in blue cities but calling for them to continue past the election. https://youtube.b/ntg1wineupcalls. If that isn't incitement, I don't know what it. She and multiple Biden campaign staffers supported a MN group that paid bail for arrested rioters, who now that Trump supporters who protest are being called domestic terrorists, also become domestic terrorists. For his part, Biden is also guilty of incitement for pushing the Charlottesville Fine People hoax, accusing Trump of supporting white supremacists in the Charlottesville riots of or the Obamoids. Great way to start a new administration, eh? The final thought about impeachment is that should Trump pull a rabbit out of his hat and Biden is not inaugurated on Wednesday for whatever reason, Trump himself will be tried and convicted in the Senate and removed from office. Win or lose, he's still gone. From that standpoint, Nancy's seemingly vindictive action makes a lot more sense than it does upon first glance. 4. Parler. Twitter celebrated Biden's electoral victory on Jan 7 by immediately suspending Trump's account. Trump said great and took his game to Parler. Twitter followed him to Parler, and got their co-conspirators at Amazon, Gulag and Apple to completely shut down their most serious competitor. Gulag and Apple participated in the festivities by removing the Parler app from their Play Stores. At the time of removal, the Parler app was among the most popular on both platforms. The excuse was Parler inciting and complicit in violence because it does not censor posters and comments. Amazon was even more blunt, giving Parler, which was at the time hosted on Amazon Web Services, AWS, servers. It took Parler about a week to find another hosting set of servers and came back up over the weekend. At least one leftist claiming to be a security expert claimed to have scraped 70 TB of data from Parler in the months before it was jettisoned by AWS. Expect this to be used in a mass doxing of conservatives who had the temerity to log onto Parler as the rolling purge continues. For his part, the Parler CEO is working on an antitrust lawsuit against Twitter, Gulag, Apple and AWS. He and his family are also in hiding based on death threats from the usual suspects on the political left. The most interesting part of this is the damage that AWS just did to their business model, which is based on providing cloud-based servers for hosting any business data. AWS just told every single customer that access to their data and applications are entirely dependent on AWS view of your political proclivities. And your access to that data and those applications can disappear at the drop of a hat, within days regardless of whatever contract you may have signed or thought you had signed. One of the things you always worry about in IT is who has possession of and controls access to your data. AWS just reinforced those concerns as primary. I predict a rather festive antitrust lawsuit and I predict the demise of AWS as they have just demonstrated that they are not reliable business partners. 5. Persuasion. Ran across a piece out of Mises.org entitled 2021, Welcome to Post-Persuasion America. Forwarded it to my list, after which I started thinking about it. Upon further review, I disagree. Not only are we still living in a persuasion-based world, but it is also the wrong sort of persuasion, bordering on brainwashing. None of this happens had the media and big tech not conspired to control what we see and what we don't see over the years. Big tech shut down all alternative views on the Wuhan flu. Both of them pushed all manner of hoaxes against Trump, all of which were personally and politically damaging. In the past, we didn't live a lot in the factual-based world, but facts did matter a bit from time to time. Today, even the facts don't matter anymore. How do we conservatives operate in a world that is all persuasion, all the time? First would be to learn to spot persuasion. Learn how to use it. Get really good at it. Second would be to figure out how to operate in that world. Note that the Biden supporters have been propagandized, brainwashed, to the point where they are completely irrational at any pro-Trump opinion or worldview. They react viscerally, violently and simply will not listen to any other view. We have to crack that wall with persuasion. One way would be to use aggressive compliance with anything they are demanding. This is similar to what the air traffic controllers used to do in the days leading up to their disastrous strike in 1981. They used to do their job precisely according to the letter of all their rules and regulations and that ground the entire system to a halt. If race is everything, then it is really everything. And when the political left is trafficking in it, we need to aggressively point that out. Never ever use hypocrisy. Never even mention it. Nobody cares. It doesn't work, and it won't change any minds. Aggressive compliance will, as will linguistic kill shots. Think of it as applying one of Alinsky's rules for radicals, a great tactical manual used for evil ends. Making the other side live up to their new rules is one of the critical tactics. Free speech is dead. The media, big tech and Congress killed it on Jan 6. Can we get this back? Who knows? Whatever happens will take a while to sort out, generally at the state and local level, as the feds are gone for at least a while. 6. Reprisals. The brave new world being brought by Democrats, their media and big tech arms is at its heart totalitarian, with reprisals against political opponents a critical part of their current efforts. Not only are conservatives and Trump supporters political opponents, but now they are evil. And as long as we are talking about evil, the news over the course of last week and weekend has focused on economic reprisals against us. It is the language and tone they use. It is no longer based in anger. Rather, it is casual, nonchalant promises of reprisal, something chilling in its fundamental evil. First, they define people by groups, with the fallacy that all members of that group are individually responsible for actions of a single member of that group. The linguistic kill shot to that argument is to point out that someone who makes that sort of claim is the worst member of their group. We'll shut them right up. Democrats and the propagandized left are busily denying commerce and banking to conservatives, and they don't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. Trump supporters are kicked off Delta Airlines for talking about Trump. Those who confronted Mitt Romney at an airport are put on no-fly lists without recourse. Note that the no-fly lists began with 16 people 20 years ago and are up to over 46,000 today. Senator Josh Hawley, R. Mo, had a book deal canceled last week by Simon & Schuster over his objection to electors on Jan 6, a book canceled because he did his job. What other groups in history were denied rights in commerce? Today, the Uyghurs in China are one such group. They are denied everything, being rounded up and sent to concentration camps. Same thing happened to Japanese Americans during World War II, when they were rounded up and interred. For a long time in history, women were denied the right to own property or engage in commerce, but we managed to fix that over time. Who else? Warning, going to violate Godwin's law here. Jews in Europe were also denied those rights in the 1930s and 1940s. Typically, when this sort of thing begins, it only ends with massive bloodshed, sometimes with cattle cars. Is this where the Democrats want to go? Are they smart enough to stop it before they go too far? My guess is no, though given the success of media and big tech propaganda, brainwashing, it is going to be very, very difficult to stop. More later. A.G. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.